Welcome today. Our reading is taken from Luke 2, 6 to 18 and comes from the Message translation. Let's now listen to Gary, followed by Karen's message from the Sounds of Like Christmas series titled Away in a Manger. This morning's reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 18, and we are reading from the Message. Be followed on the screen. Excuse me. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hostel. There were the sheep herders camping in the neighbourhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I am here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A saviour has just been born in David's town, a saviour who is Messiah and Master. This is what you are to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheep herders talked it over. "Let's go to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met of what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the sheep herders were impressed. May God bring his blessing to this reading this morning.
Thank you, Gary. It's hard to say sheep herders, because when you're used to saying shepherds and it rolls off the tongue, then you've got sheep herders. So we're in our series, as we've said already, Sounds Like Christmas, and we've been looking at a different Christmas carol each week. You already know today's Christmas carol, Away in a Manger. Last week we looked at O Holy Night with Tim, and we've got a few more carols coming up, so wait and see. Now just picture this scene. We've already seen a little idea and we've sung the song. And read the words of the first verse, and can you picture what the scene would be like? Away in a manger. Can you picture a manger? No crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. I bet most of you know these off by heart, do you? All those years of singing carols. The cattle are lowing. The baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my side until morning is nigh. Now, beautiful song. Beautiful picture of a scene. This well-known, sweet childhood carol is often the soundtrack for many nativity scenes around the world. It's a very requested carol if you've been someone who's been out caroling and they say, "Sing Away in a Manger." It's a favourite. This nativity scene that I have here is lovely. It's a little scene with some children. And I'd like you to watch it. We're going to watch this clip and watch the children who are in the starring roles is Mary and Joseph. And there's a few little sheep. I think they're sheep, though the ones at the back look more like a panda to me. Anyway, keep an eye on the littlest sheep at the front. Thank you, Judah.
Oh,
know, I could watch that clip a million times and still think it's the most adorable thing. It's great. Kids are great, aren't they? The things that they'll do. It's good to stop there because I'm not sure what happened next with Mary. I think she crash-tackled the little sheep and stole baby Jesus back. So what do we know about this carol and about its history? Let's have a quick look into that. In 1887, we first read about James Murray. So he included this carol in a compilation book. He called that book Dainty Songs for Little Lads and Lasses. I like the sound of that. I don't know if it's still in print. Dainty Songs for Little Lads and Lasses. And he included the first two verses of the carol there, which were all that were written at that time. And he also called the tune that he used Luther's Cradle Hymn. That gets very confusing, because when I looked up Luther's Cradle Hymn, I got both different versions, so I'm not sure which is the cradle hymn and which is not. The Americans, of course, like to sing that song that was on the clip, and the one we sang this morning, I think, is a UK favourite. So I'll have to check with people who've been in the UK and see which one they like to sing. Any advice, Jan?
Oh, they sing both.
They sing both. There's lots of different tunes, and I will give you a little sing about those tunes. The newspaper ad that we've got, you can just imagine that. There's a newspaper ad that was in 1889, and it advertised the carol by saying, "The following hymn, composed by Martin Luther for his children, is still sung by many of the German mothers to their little ones today." Martin Luther did not write the words. Even on our words this morning, it's still often credited to Martin Luther. He did write a Christmas poem for his children, but it wasn't this one. Perhaps it was the timing of the anniversary of Martin Luther's birth, and that carol was being brought out, so they said, oh yeah, this is written by Martin Luther, I'm sure it was. Anyway, it doesn't matter who wrote the words, we love to sing it, it's a great song, and there's a lot of deep meaning in it. That third verse, as Cess was saying, is a real prayer. It was later added by a man called Charles Gabriel. So we've got James Murray, William Kirkpatrick, who are both credited with the tunes and the words, and Charles Gabriel wrote that last verse that added just a bit more depth. It was really designed to penetrate to our soul much deeper than those simple words at the beginning and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. As I said, there was a bit of a battle royale, a bit of a challenge between the UK and the USA. And us being Australians, we just do whatever we feel like. I think that's the best way to win the battle. So, in trying to determine what these tunes are, we know this one we sang this morning. Away in a manger. Yeah. The other one that was at the beginning, and if any of you heard at the beginning, it's a Chris Tomlin compilation about it's Christmas and ended it with Go Tell It on the Mountain. Pam wouldn't dance with me, but that's okay. You dance with me next time, Pam. For Away in a Manger, Go Tell It on the Mountain. So they were singing the Away in a Manger, no crib or a bed. There's also the Normandy carol, which is quite common in England, which is in a bit of a minor key, a bit of a funnier feel. Where's that one? Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. My all-time favourite. Derek was reminding me we can sing it to the one that we sing, My Jesus, I Love Thee, Spore or something, is it? Or A Boundless Salvation. My all-time favourite, this is the one I'm going to finish with, Gilligan's Island. You know Gilligan's Island? The three-hour tour? Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. Laid down his sweet head. Fantastic. So this week your challenge is to sing Away in a Manger to as many different tunes and tell us next week which one you came up with. So we've got lots of characters in the carol. You can't really have Away in a Manger without a manger. You could, it's a bit tricky. You can't really have Away in a Manger without the cradle, the manger, as we said. But also about the stars in the bright sky looking down. You can't have Away in a Manger without the stars, or the hay, or the cattle, or perhaps a few cute little sheep, pandas, whatever they were. But the most important character that we see is the little Lord Jesus. Now, there are some weird things called wordles. And I don't know if you've noticed, but in the foyer as you come in, and in the bathrooms, if you go to the bathrooms, or out near the reception desk, or around the place, you might see these wordles. They're a word picture. And what you do to create a wordle is you type in all of the words. So I typed in all the words, the lyrics to Away in a Manger. And it comes up and it creates a picture. I'm hoping I might be able to show you that picture. No. Can you grab the one that's on the back for me? It's on the window. Your other challenge this week is to see if you can identify all the songs that are illustrated in the wordles. So this one was the first one I did, and I was really happy that it came out with the words Lord Jesus as the centre of the wordle. It takes the frequency of the words in the carol. You can just imagine that you're seeing this on the screen there. And it's probably a bit too small to see, but right in the middle, in the blue writing, are the words, Lord Jesus. And today we know that the Lord Jesus, that it comes up as the main feature, is really the heart of that song. And it is, as it should be, our focus at Christmas. Those words there. And Jesus should be our focus. I hope that he is. So the word Lord has a number of definitions. Lord is a man of noble rank or of high office, or to act in a domineering way. We could say that you lord it over someone. It's also used in some compound titles of things like the Lord High Executioner, the Supreme Lord Chancellor, a master or a ruler. We can say the Lord of the village, of the town, of the whatever place. Now Luke, in his passage, uses the Greek word kyrios. And that word means master, sir, or lord. It's a title of respect, but we know that it's much more than just a title of respect. It's a name that we use when we talk about God or Christ, the Lord. We say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We pray the Lord's Prayer, and we sing songs with the lyrics about the Lord. Now, to call someone Lord means to give them the supreme authority and control, ultimate control. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at that passage in Colossians, and we said that Jesus Christ was supreme, supreme Lord, supreme over creation, supreme over the church. The angels, when they appeared to the sheepherders, the shepherds, called him Lord. They said, the Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Sent from heaven to announce the arrival of Jesus on the hillside, the angel knew that all the power, all the authority of God resided in this tiny baby. He knew that this baby would impact history. I imagine it would have been quite exciting, frightening, awesome, unexpected to be there when the angel appeared to the shepherds. The response of the shepherds showed that they took heed. Either they were very curious or they wholeheartedly believed what the angel said to them. I have not had an angel appear to me and start singing, so I'm not sure what my response would be, but I think I would listen. Then we see, as the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheep herders, this is from the message that Gary read before, talked it over. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left running, and there they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the sheep herders were impressed. They called him Lord. Jesus Christ, the Lord. I'll just skip through, guys, and find where I'm up to. Maybe. We know that this little baby here, asleep on the hay, grew up. We know that as a man, Jesus set out on his ministry with his disciples, and through that, this baby, there would have been so much more than the shepherds could ever have imagined. And what the angels didn't say to the shepherds, the prophets had proclaimed. This baby, through this baby, this little Lord Jesus, we know that the blind would see, the dead would rise, demons would be cast out, and the mute given their voice. We know that the lame would walk, the poor would be made rich, sins would be forgiven, and the promised Holy Spirit would come. Amazing things all. God's salvation plan for the world was here, embodied in the baby, asleep on the hay. One of the saddest things, I suppose, that we see is that many people just decide that the little baby asleep on the hay is where they'll leave it, and we don't get past the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. And that is a tragedy. If we truly don't get to realise the lordship of Jesus, it's still just a cute little story. There is no doubt that Jesus is Lord of the world. He's Lord of all, but today I want to ask, is he Lord over you and I? We see through the Gospels that Jesus is Lord over nature. And there's so many stories that we read. When Jesus stilled the storm and he calmed the seas, told the wind to stop. When he fed the 5,000 with a little boy's lunch and a couple of fish and a few small loaves of bread. When Jesus walked on water, when he turned the water into wine, when he cursed the fig tree and the fruit shriveled. Or the fruit weren't there, the tree shriveled. All of those things tell us that Jesus is Lord over nature. We also see that Jesus is Lord over sickness and disease and even over death. Jesus healed the lady who had been bleeding for many, many years. The blind man, the lepers. He raised his own dear friend Lazarus from the grave. And as Tim told us last week, he'd been there for a few days and he stinketh. That was the old King James Version we were talking about last week. So we know that Jesus is Lord over nature. He's Lord over sickness, disease, and even death. But is he Lord over you and I? True surrender, true commitment of our lives to Jesus requires us to acknowledge God and his sovereign rule, to say, I want you to be Lord. You can be in control of every part of me. Now, many of you, I'm sure, have said that in your lives. You've said, God, I want you to be in control. But the temptation is that we want to take control back and not allow God to be the Lord of our lives. So when is it we take back control? I've got a couple of things today that cause us. They're the temptation. This is why we take back control. Firstly, because of fear or doubt. When things get tough, we have to see what our response is. Now, recently I heard my cousin Janet, her husband, was discovered to have a massive tumour in his brain. He's 48, and they've got three children, and out of the blue, had some questionable things happen, didn't know what was happening. They had discovered this massive tumour in his brain. Now, that week that we heard the news, Tim was away, and I was walking down on the beach, and we don't go to the beach often when Tim and I are together walking. We walked to the 7-Eleven. That's our preferred walk. But because Tim was away, I got to go to the beach with the dog. And I just stopped and just stopped and prayed and sat on the sand and looked out at the sea, the enormous, overwhelming concept of how big the sea is. And the words came to mind, Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing. And I just sent Janet a message and said, Janet, these are the words that I've got this morning. I hope this is encouraging to you. Nothing is too difficult for God. But we do doubt. We become overwhelmed with fear and we think that our problem is too big for God. Or perhaps we let doubt creep in and take back control if we think something's too trivial. It's too big for God, it's too little for God. This is just a small thing. So God, I'll give you everything, but not this tiny little trivia thing. You don't need to know about that. You're too busy. The second thing we do, we take back control when we don't seek God's direction, or we choose to move our plans along our way and not in God's way. God, we pray, bless my plans that I've made and make them fit into your will. No, that's all backwards. That's not asking God to be in control. Instead, we can pray as Jesus taught his disciples, Thy will be done. We want to do God's will. We also take back control when we feel ashamed or we allow guilt to be more significant to us than God's love. That spiritual battle is real. The lie that Satan wants us to swallow is one of shame. I'm not good enough. God doesn't want my life. It's a mess. First, let me go and clean things up a bit. And then, God, maybe then you can have control. So we want to say no to all of those things. We don't want to allow fear or doubt to persuade us to take back that control. We don't want to say, my will be done. And we don't want to allow that sense of guilt, that shame, to push Jesus, the Lord, into the back seat. Yes, he is Lord. He's Lord over nature. He is Lord over sickness and disease, even death. But I ask again, is he Lord over you and I? Today, I want you to ponder that question, is Jesus Lord? And maybe you could complete a bit of a mini inventory on your life. Is he Lord over your relationships, your family? Maybe those people in your family that you're not necessarily seeing regularly, people you're estranged with. Is he Lord over the people that you come beside in your neighbourhood, the people that you work with? Is he Lord over the relationships with your friends? Marriage? Is God Lord over your marriage? What about in our business or our work or how we conduct ourselves in our everyday interactions with service providers? Is he Lord over our children? And I know that as children get older, and we're learning this very quickly, we know that we have to allow them to make their own decisions. And I'm not telling you anything new, am I? We know that we have to let them choose if they will make him Lord over their own lives. But do we ask God to be the Lord over our interactions as parents, over our interactions with our adult children? Be Lord of my parenting. Is he Lord over every day and everything? Making Jesus Lord is not a one-off thing. It's a continual, ongoing process where we come back and we ask God to be Lord again of those things that we've taken back. Now, if you identify an area that you think, yeah, actually, well, I'm pretty okay with most parts of my life, but there's this one thing. I want to encourage you today to pray, to ask God to be Lord over that. Take that step and give your all to the Lord Jesus. Not the little Lord Jesus sleeping on the hay. Our Saviour, our crucified Saviour and our risen Lord. In Philippians 2:11, we hear this. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And it was also in our reading this morning, our call to worship, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Is Jesus Lord over all the parts of your life? I'm going to invite our musicians to come up. We're going to sing a song that says, Christ alone. It's all about Christ, nothing else. Cornerstone. And the refrain says, he is Lord. He is Lord of all. And I pray that that's true. Those words are something that are significant to you. And as we sing that today, if it isn't, I'd invite you to come and make him today your Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope and pray that this service has been helpful to you. If you would like to know more, our service is on Sunday, 10 a.m. at the Salvation Army, Caloundra, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain. God bless.